J10, number 10B.
All right, so we go on now and can see and love the whole flavor of this sense, yes, of love being the goal causality, the teleological final causes that Aristotle was already talking about in wholeness causality. So we just wanted to touch on this, and in your quiet time in work, please then go through this as you see now the Dorley-Kapler line is such to be pioneers, because they all show, and Max shows, that we must go on and see our subject as the world today and not to get locked into it. And certainly he has built on the spirit of John Dorley. So let's go on with our steps. And we ourselves then were at that step then three, and we love step three. And we say, well, on step three, we were then thinking in terms of ideas. And certainly I mentioned here that we didn't want to rush through this step. We spent time on it because it is so foundational, as you can see, all that is involved within the study. So it's thinking in terms of ideas, and we, as a step three, and we did then the exercise together, and we know it, and we'll just show it again briefly. On step three, we see that it's the ideational eye, and after we have concept build, then we tonality build, consciousness build, being build with those ideas, and the exercise was then, I am all of the ideas of mine, therefore I am the idea intelligence, I'm not the illusion ignorance. Or I'm the idea substance, I'm not the illusion of being of material substance. Or I'm the idea of unchangeable identity, even amongst change, my identity is unchangeable, it's intact, though it takes on many, many forms and many, many experiences in many, many dimensions, I still contain and hold on to my identity. I'm not the illusion of being subject to waffling back and forth. I can focus on the spiritual identity at hand. And so I am the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we identify ourselves with of these ideas, and the rule then on step three is I identify myself with ideas to bring my thinking into line with ideas. For to live a good life, I must live to think only in ideas. And the outcome, I am freed from evil, harmful thinking. Our human ego gains an improved identity. Dualistic thinking gradually gives way to ideational thinking. And this consciousness of what the I is lifts itself above a material dualistic level to the ideational I. And therefore, we see, therefore, that this is not a final step. We must go on, because in step three, there still lingers a sense of duality between the ideational I and the I am called God. So this takes us to the next step, really, which is a step four, still within the category of metaphysics, thinking in terms of the synonyms for God. And here in step four, we begin to see that what is reality to step four? And the synonymy principle comes in and says, well, ideas do not exist as isolated single values, but ideas are always ideas of the one infinite principle. So the rule is I learn to interrelate ideas of each synonym for God. And therefore, ideas are always one with God and therefore inseparable from all other ideas. So it's at this point we begin to see how all ideas intra-relate. And that's why the intra is there. Intra means within the system. Intra-commerce. The trucks move within a state. Inter-commerce means that the trucks move from state to state. So our intra-relating is we see how all the ideas of mind, when we know that mind is its own system of ideas, we begin to see how all those ideas of mine begin to interrelate to build up a tonality of mine. Therefore, for example, let's say an idea such as creator, for example, can't be a creator unless it is a producer or a law or has intelligence. Each of these points are different ideas of mine. So we know that creator can only be a creator if it produces and influences and operates as a cause from which everything comes forth. So we see then all those ideas that we had under mind interrelate to build up a tick, tick, tick. That tick, tick, tick we call mind, huh? But it could have gamut or another tone. But the interrelationship of those ideas build up such a network of consistency that it gives off an overall tick, 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 and that is called mind. So it's the tone we wanted, wasn't it? And it's that interrelationship of ideas where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. All those ideas interwoven that give off the tone, it's that tonality that interprets the text. And remember I said in Max's big war cry always was, don't get a wordy sense. He heard the tone mine in a paragraph where maybe the words creator, producer, parent mind didn't exist, but he heard the tone that this was a creative impulse happening here. So we heard tone mind and not the words. So all the ideas under mind build up a big tone mind, and when you go out from the tone mind, you hear that tone mind happening as an information highway, you see, or information theory. We hear information has to do with mind, don't we? We hear when they talk about spiraling higher, higher to higher orders and complexities, has to do with spirit. When they talk about identity principles, it has to do with soul, or with the synergistic principle with principle, or with life spiraling higher and higher, or with truth dimensionalism, wheel with wind wheels, and the hyperspace theory, love, goal, causality. You hear that because we built up the interrelationship of the ideas that gave off tonality. So we can say that this is spirit is its own central sun of its ideas. Soul is a central sun of its ideas. Principle is a central sun of its ideas. Life is a central sun of its ideas. Truth is a central sun of its ideas. Love is a central sun of its ideas. And this is the exercise for step four. We interrelate the ideas of mind to get tone mind. We interrelate and see how all the ideas under spirit have a common denominator called spirit, how all the ideas under soul have the same tonality called soul, how all the ideas under principle, life, truth, and love have a common denominator under those synonymous terms. And it's only by hearing those common denominator called mind, or the common denominator called spirit, or the common denominator called soul, or the common denominator called principle, life, truth, and love, lets the divine principle, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love interpret the universe. Those tones do. We gather this already at four. But we've got to exercise. And we can't put in any new terminology in the world without having done the exercise of four, because we wouldn't hear the tone of whether it fits or not, whether superstring theory fits at mind or at truth. We felt it fit more at truth because it has to do with hyperspace, dimensions within dimensions within dimensions. You see? So we have to know the tone of the synonyms to know where to hear where these new concepts go. Yes, it becomes kind of an internet and interworking. Mm-hmm, definitely. All right. So we go on. And we say, well, we just love this exercise with it four. And so our exercise on step four then would be that, as Max gave it, that thinking in terms of the synonyms for God. So the exercise here, when all the ideas under mind blend to tone mind, then we say, I am one with mind. or in all the tones under spirit, ideas under spirit blend, and we say, then I am one with the whole gestalt of spirit, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, where all the ideas now give tone spirit, and I identify with the whole synonymous term spirit, which includes its ideas. And I am one with the whole synonymous term soul, which includes its ideas. I am one with the whole synonymous term principle, which includes its ideas. I am whole with the whole gestalt of life, which includes its ideas. I'm one with the whole gestalt of truth, which includes its ideas. And I'm one with the whole gestalt of love, which includes its ideas. And so therefore we are thinking in the tonality of the whole gestalt of the synonym itself. And we hear that spiritual tone of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the rule is we stick to that exercise, don't we? All right. Then now we go on, then in consciousness, we would go on to the next point. So we go on now and see here that step four was thinking in terms of the synonyms for God. I am one with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Therefore, I am not one with mortal mind, matter, body, sense, testimony, personal opinions, death, mortal consciousness, and fear. Now, at step four, we say to ourselves, why isn't step four the final step? Why do we go on? Well, in step four, we're resolving duality, resolving the personal I into the I am. So we say, well, what is this I that am one with mind to love? Who is the I? And it's still, we have a sense of a personal I that is one with. We've got to get rid of that a personal I. And the Christ is getting rid of it. We don't. But through the exercises, consciousness is lifted off the restraints of the personal I through the Christ impelling us to go forward. So we come then to step five, and we see then that step five is making that big break between metaphysics and science, where only the synonym of God in us can be one with the synonym of God. We touch the Christian Science level here, and therefore we will begin to see that we have no other personal I than the I am. We're getting closer and closer to resolving the personal I. We then begin to touch the Christian Science level at step five. And then we say to ourselves, what is the exercise on level five? As given then in Kapler's book, the ordered approach to the one being, and as we're just recapitulating these steps for ourselves now, this is what our assignment is for the year, of course, is to go home and to, from his book, get out the infinite ramifications, the infinite meaning of each step. One in a class only likes to paint the big pictures of each step, but we can see then that in step five, so we go on then and see that if the exercise is on step five, as I just mentioned, that only the synonym for God in us can be one with the synonym for God, then when we do our exercise, this is the, we would say, well, therefore, the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. Can we see the logical step from step four? If we said at step four, it's I am one with mind, therefore if I am one with mind, then the mind which is God is my mind. I can have no other mind than the mind which is God. And on step four, if we say I am one with spirit, then naturally we could say the spirit which is God is my spirit. And this is still the gestalt. We never go back to ideas. We still always are maintaining this gestalt of the term as it includes its ideas. And so therefore the spirit which is God is my spirit. I have no other spirit than the spirit which is God. And in step four, if I am one with soul, then on step five, The soul which is God is my soul. I have no other soul than the soul which is God. And if I am one with principle on step four, then the principle which is God is my principle. I have no other principle than the principle which is God. And if the life, truth, and love which is God is, if I am one with life, truth, and love on step four, then the principle, life, truth, and love, which is God, is my principle, life, truth, and love. And it's that simple of an exercise. And the rule is stick to the simplicity and power of the exercise. Because we ask, say to ourselves, is that the higher? Or does it make us go forward? It still wants us to go forward because we say, who is this mind? That the mind, which is God, is my mind. You see, we still have a sense of a self then in there in the exercise. We want to get rid of it, don't we? The mind which is God is my mind. Who or what is the my mind? We still have a bit of a duality. So step five comes along and shows us that on the absolute Christian Science level of the exercise, life, truth, and love is the I of us. And that's the word on Absolute Christian Science, the life, truth, and law. The life law of life, truth, and love is the mind of us. Didn't we learn that as a law of interdependence in the word vertical, that life, truth, and love is the I of us? And that's the exercise that we see. We see that law at work here. We say, well, then, that life, truth, and love is the I of us. Life, truth, and love is the mind of us. Life, truth, and love is the spirit of us. Life, truth, and love is the soul of us. Life, truth, and love is the principle of us. Life, truth, and love is the life of us. Life, truth, and love is the truth of us. Life, truth, and love is the love of us. So, therefore, when we look at the model of being itself, we can see how that's so. It's that law of life, truth, and love is the mind of us. That law of life, truth, and love is the spirit of us. The law of life, truth, and love is the soul principle. Life, truth, and love is us. And we've learned it, as I said, as a law of interdependence of the word vertical, as Max shows it in his tapes on the laws in 1971 and 72, which are available. But, and this is also, you see, this is, remember when I went over Max's booklet on man, the thinker, or the thought, and we saw that Buchholz said that the law of inner acceleration, the inner logic, and the inner goal-directedness was thinking the scientist? It's that same law of life, truth, and love, which is the mind of the scientist. And that the scientists didn't know which way their science was going, but the law of life, truth, and love knows the way the science is going, and it's informing the scientists of which way it is going. And Mrs. Eddy said in 1866, I discovered the law of life, truth, and love, which told me the way universal science was going. Through revelation, reason, and demonstration, that law of life, truth, and love taught her. The law of life, truth, and love is informing us the way our life goes. We don't set the goal. This is why those earlier steps of all is mental, the mental is good and evil, and where they set their own goals in motivation cybernetics, there's some of these landmarks, some of these classes, where they say, I want to be a healthy, positive person, and then they set their goal, what it means, to make more money, to be friendly. Maybe it's right that we have the job as a recycler rather than the CEO, because this is where we belong in our evolution of where we're going to learn what we learn. No job is more important than another. It's we are where life, truth, and love wants us to be, because life, truth, and love is thinking us. Do you see how it resolves that is my mind? It now puts our mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love experience into the law of life, truth, and love, into God thinking us. Isn't it tremendous? So at this point, and that's all we have to do in that law. Just life, truth, and love is the mind of us. Life, truth, and love is the spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And stay in the tonality of it. Let it happen. Understand that it's thinking us, bringing us revelation, reason, and demonstration. Mrs. Eddy knew it. She understood it. And look at, she gave us science and health because of it. And it's impelling, the scientists also see it now, that it's impelling them to go forward. And then we see on step 7, well, if the law of life, truth, and love is the eye of us, then we see the exercise on that level. On 7, then, is the synonyms for God are the only I or ego. So all there is I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. There it, and on this level we saw principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. All duality is resolved here. There is no more the question whether there's a personal I or an I am. Divine science says subject and object is one, the all in all. The all is reflected by the little all. That's all hyphen in hyphen all. Principle, the capital all, and its idea, lowercase all, is one. And this one is principle itself. So here we're just, the consciousness just goes out and sees the world as mind sees the world, as spirit sees the world, as soul sees the world, as principle sees the world, as life sees the world, as truth sees the world, as love sees the world. There is no more I. It's excluded at this point. And therefore, personal I. The I is mind, and of course, if we look down on the level, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining mind. We'd see the world as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love sees the world. And the split between subject and object has been resolved, and our consciousness looks out as God's consciousness. We're God idea. We see the world as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love sees the world. Then on the final step of science itself, we see then that it's just that standpoint of the I am that I am. And so what we have happening on the level of science itself in the ascending way then is that it's just the I am that I am. It's that I is the I am. And what does the M mean? It's that M is a substantive verb to be. So the one ego is infinitely being. It's just that question of principle being its own infinite principle. And remember at this point of science itself, a consciousness now goes out from mind itself, from spirit itself, from soul itself, from principle itself, from life itself, from truth itself, from love itself. And through the 8 ordered steps, we have resolved the personal I into the I am. It doesn't mean mysticism, that we have lost our identity. It just means that we now see that we are that one principle, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining that one principle. And now consciousness goes out from that principle and experiences everything that principle is. And therefore, it's that one ego. We all are of the one mind. There are not minds many. And everyone in the whole universe, including ideational man, sees the universe as God sees the universe. It sees through the one mind, sees the one original patterned universe. And therefore, it's just a state of mind being its own infinite mind. Mind seeing its own infinite pattern, and therefore mind being its own infinite mind, constantly restructuring itself according to law of self-reflection, self-similarity. And therefore consciousness at that level just experiences what it means, really when we see the world as God sees the world, only out from the standpoint of one mind. And then it's an experience after that, where we've gone from the irrational through the rational to the irrational, from the books through the books into no books, through science and past science into being itself, where it's just an experience, where we experience what it means through experience, that principle is its own infinite principle, and that we experience the one mind being its own infinite mind, the one spirit being its own infinite spirit, the one soul, principle, life, truth, and love being its own infinite soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And what that means in the matrix of infinity, where we really are that matrix of infinity in operation, that law of self-reflection, where all identities are intact, that all identities have one mind, the mind which is God, yet maintain their infinite individuality. And it's there with the admittance to ourselves that we're all God's own likeness, mind's own likeness, spirit's own likeness, soul's own likeness, principle's own likeness, life, truth, and love's own likeness, sets us free to master the infinite idea. And on the law of self-reflection, we spiral higher and higher from a boundless baseness as in an awareness where death is unknown, evil is unknown. There really life begins in the infinite spiral. But and consciousness understands it. Now, consciousness never descends from that level. There comes a time, we know, when it says in the Bible that the Son of Man stays in heaven and the Son of God stays in heaven, never to ascend and descend. But that consciousness has an impact and it is understood, therefore the ascending way has been understood. Therefore, it shows the descending way an impact that on the level of science itself, it's just that I am being its own infinite I am. And therefore, this one I am identity or ego or experience is the I am of the universe, of all. This I am is infinitely individualized as individual I am. Step five, this I am has no other I am, no personal I. Therefore, this I am, which includes the question we had of the thinker, that I am is the thinker of us. That I am makes God thoughts and my thoughts identical. That I am gives only good thoughts. That I am makes us the thought of God. Therefore, I am. Therefore, that I am, that one ego infinitely being, of which we are in experience on the level of science itself, now looks down, so to speak, our ascending way and says, you know, what made you go ascend was always the power impact of the descent. That I am, which is on the level of divine science, the I am of all, which is infinitely individualized as individual I am, which has no personal I, was always the I am that was a thinker of us, that make our thoughts and God thoughts identical, which gave us only thoughts, which made us the thought of God, which caused us to look like we went the ascending way. But we never were so clever to go the ascending way ourselves, were we? It was the impulse always of the descent, which makes the ascent happen, you see? And that's what we welcome in consciousness, that this is a God experience. This is that Christ idea at work, where principle God is always presenting what we are as idea, isn't it? And through its law of opposites, through its own adjustment, remember, it's God's law of adjustments, makes consciousness go from a physical explanation through a mental explanation to a spiritual explanation through God's own divinely cybernetic law of adjustment and his work. Our responsibility is just to accept it. Our responsibility is to accept it through the right attitude, and therefore going and practicing these ordered steps to oneness with being through the divine system of reference gives us the right attitude, isn't it? The be attitude, the right attitude of man, which is the Christianity tone of to let it happen, and that we approach it through science and understanding these ascending ways of steps that being is impelling us on. We don't believe the ascending way. We don't trust the ascending way. We understand the orderly steps in the ascending way, and we exercise in the orderly steps of the ascending way to get the right attitude to let God take us on the ascending way. We don't do it, huh? The textbook said it was a condemnation of Adam to till the ground, of thought tending spiritually upward.